Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to another online service. We're so glad that you have joined us today, our fourth Advent Sunday. And before I forget, while it's still fresh in my mind, let me remind everybody that this Christmas Eve, on the 24th of December at 6 p.m., we have our Christmas Eve service. You'll not want to miss it. It'll be a joyous time as you gather your family around whatever medium you use, television, computer, whatever, smartphone, and watch our Christmas service through those means. But we're asking you to join us and to celebrate the Christmas season with us this year. As Pastor Connie said, a little bit different than we anticipated 12 months ago. But we're so glad that we're able to do this with technology. And so we ask that you invite your friends, tell them to join in, and celebrate Christmas this year with Warden Full Gospel Assembly. We've been, over the last couple of weeks, looking at songs that have surrounded the Christmas story. We looked at Mary the first week, the song of praise that she sang. Zechariah last week, the song of thanksgiving. And today we're going to look at Simeon. And we're going to look at his song that he pronounced during the Christmas season. And it's really interesting to me that in each one of these songs, the lyrics tell of an incredible pronouncement contained within each song. And Simeon put into words and expressed what was in his heart when he encountered the Christ child for the very first time. So today, I just want to highlight and talk about some very particular attributes of joy, because his song was a song of incredible joy. And the first attribute of joy that we find in Simeon's pronouncement is that joy wholeheartedly follows the Lord. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're in verse 25. It says these words: "At the time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout." Now, I want to focus a little bit on these words: righteous and devout. Being devout, being righteous, being obedient, living with a clear conscience. That's the connotation here. Knowing that you are doing and living rightly creates joy, internal joy in your soul. I love watching children at performances. They're getting ready to do a performance. They've practiced hard. They've memorized lines. Their parents have dressed them nicely in their costumes. And as they're getting ready to perform, a lot of times these children, as they are lined up, are giddy and brimming with nervous anticipation. There's this element of excitement and joy that is a part of the environment. And what we see here in children when they're in these moments is that when you have done what was expected of you, learned your lines, dressed up, ready to perform, there is this incredible sense of joy. Now, when you look at the context of Luke chapter 2 in this particular story of Simeon, the context of the story is that it takes place on the temple grounds. There's this encounter that happens between Simeon and Joseph and Mary and the Christ child. It's on the temple grounds in Jerusalem. And the belief in Israel was not that the temple was a sacred building, although it certainly was a sacred place. The temple and the temple grounds was a reminder to the people that sin in this world messed up everything. On this earth, because of sin, things were not operating and in proper order. And we can't personally, individually, fix the sin problem. But God has plans to reoccupy the world. He intends to evict sin and rule the world with justice and peace. And the temple becomes, where Simeon was, The temple becomes this connection between heaven interacting and connecting with earth. It's like heaven meeting earth. There is a meeting that takes place between Simeon and the Christ child. And the scriptures say that Simeon was righteous and devout. There's this sense that because of his faithful living, because he fully committed and followed God through his entire life, the description is that he is righteous. And the Bible, when the Bible describes righteous, it really means that there was a keeping of covenant between God and man. So the description of Simeon being a righteous person is that he honored God. There was this element of obedience in following God. And because of that, Simeon recognized the Christ child. It's interesting for me to notice that in each one of these people that we've looked at and the songs that were represented by each of them, Mary and Zechariah and Simeon, in each and every case, these three individuals were identified with the descriptive word that they were righteous. In other words, God chooses and elevates and uses people who are pure in life, obedient, and desperately seek to follow God. And that's a very important lesson for us to understand as well. To have God's blessing rest upon your life, to walk in the favor of the Lord, it begins by a decision that we make to wholeheartedly follow God. And as we do, there is an element of joy that captures our life. The second attribute that we see here of joy in these verses in Luke chapter 2 are found in Luke chapter 22, verse 25 and 26, and it has to do with that joy patiently waits on the Lord. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 26. It says, "The Holy Spirit was upon him," that means Simeon, "and," verse 26, "had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah." Now, when you look at this text, it seems to imply that Simeon was old. Not sure how old he was. Maybe he was close to death. We don't know. But it says that death would not overcome him until he has seen the Messiah. I don't know about you, but over a time, I've met people that I haven't seen in 30, 40 years. And it's interesting to me that these people that I now meet again 30 or 40 years later are now in their 70s, 80s, even touching their 90s. But when I was a teenager and I knew these people, when I was a teenager, I looked at these people and I thought they were really old, even though they were in their mid-50s, early 60s. Now I'm at that age. And when I think and I look at those people and I think of myself, I don't consider myself old. Now I consider anybody over 100 as being old. See, what I want to express here is this. No matter what Simeon's age was, one thing is certain. He was waiting for decades. And as we talked about last week, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, had been waiting for the Messiah to come for multiple, multiple centuries, thousands of years. But it's as if Simeon and the scriptures are saying to us is that I believe God is doing something incredible and wonderful in the world, and I don't want to miss it. It's almost like Simeon waiting and hoping and just waiting to catch a glimpse of the Messiah as a fulfillment of his patience. In my mind, I look at his life and I think that as he went to the temple on numerous occasions, he probably had this heightened sense of, of looking and seeing the children come into the sanctuary of the temple, or he must have thought as he watched the newborn babies come in, is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? Maybe this child is the Messiah. But when the appointed time came, when the right time came, the Bible says it was the Holy Spirit that revealed to him that this was the Christ child. It's interesting to me, and you'll notice this. A lot of people are on the lookout for the Messiah around Christmas time. Statistics that have been tabulated and calculated have shown that if you invite people to a Christmas event or Christmas Eve service, 50%, one half of them, would say yes if they received an invitation. Because in everyone's heart, here's the thing about Christmas that we need to understand. In everyone's heart, there is anticipation of something. There's this longing towards this particular day. Prior to Christmas Day, there are events and parties and gatherings. Certainly before COVID, there was. There were these celebrations that would be engaged in and people would participate in. And while it was difficult to wait for that particular day, there is this sense of anticipation that is encapsulated by joy, a pronounced joy that when that final day comes, when Christmas actually arrives, in spite of COVID, we're still going to have Christmas. When that day arrives, there is this elevation of joy that comes into our lives. Let me ask you a question. What brings more joy in your life? When you go out and purchase on a whim, perhaps impulsively, something that you can afford, or an item that you have to save for and that you have to wait for. Maybe you put it on a layaway plan, or maybe you save money up on a monthly basis for months and months until you actually have saved enough and have gathered enough in order to purchase it. See, Simeon waited a long time. Simeon trusted God's word, waited, trusted in God's timetable, until that day when the Holy Spirit revealed to him that this was the Christ child, that the day had finally come. Here's the question for all of us that we need to ask as we wait and anticipate the celebration of Christmas. What kind of person are we becoming when we go through waiting periods? You see, all of us in life experience times where we need to wait, and sometimes we have to wait a long time. I don't know maybe what you are waiting for in life, but all of us are waiting for something. Maybe you're waiting for clarity about life direction of what you need to be doing with your life. Maybe you're waiting on a relationship to be restored. Maybe you're waiting for a job promotion. Maybe you're waiting for God and wondering when he will bring back a wayward child back into your relationship. Maybe you're waiting for deep anxiety to go away. Maybe you're waiting for your finances to be restored after this epidemic of COVID. You see, all of us, when we think about our lives, we are waiting for something. And I don't know how long this waiting will take. I don't know how long you have waited for something. But what I do know this is that during the process of waiting, from beginning to the end, when the actual waiting ceases and is overcome, what kind of person are you becoming in the process? Are you becoming a better person? Are you becoming less anxious or less irritable? Who are you becoming as a person? You see, one thing that I have learned in life is that we have very little control of what happens in life. Things transpire, and we aren't in control. And so because we are not in control, we find ourselves in the waiting business. We are in the process constantly of waiting. But in this time of waiting, we are to remain faithful and patient, even when we don't have what we yet want. And that's the example of Simeon in the scripture. Though he waited perhaps for decades for the Christ child to come, he remained faithful and patiently waited for that moment to occur. Here's a third attribute that I see in these verses, is that joy, insurmountable joy that arises within us, genuinely praises God. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 27. And verse 28, that day the Spirit led him to the temple, and so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. I can't even imagine what this moment must have been like. But the moment he saw the child, there was an immediate expression of praise to the Lord. And did you notice in these verses how he identified Jesus, how Simeon identified Jesus? He, referring to Jesus, said, I have seen your salvation. The one who will save not just the nation of Israel, but all people in all nations in the world. So the proclamation of Simeon in Luke chapter 2 is found in the fact that there was this exuberant joy that came forth when he praised God as to what the accomplishment of Jesus would accomplish in the world. I happen to believe that when we fail to give praise to God for all of his blessings, we miss out in our life the opportunity to truly experience true joy. Because you see, my friends, the Lord is the source of all joy. Our God is the source of all joy. And one of the ways that keeps joy flowing into your life is to have an attitude of praising the one who gives you that joy. He is the author of joy. And to have joy, praise must be prominent in our lives to the Lord. The fourth attribute that I see here is that joy confidently trusts the Lord's plan. You see, I don't know if you really know that there is a distinct difference between happiness and joy. A lot of times we get confused with the idea of happiness and joy, and we somehow intermingle the two. But there is a distinct difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is determined by my circumstances and my happenings in life. If things are going well, if I'm purchasing something that I really enjoy and it's going to bring me pleasure, then I feel happiness. But joy is deeper than happiness, because joy goes into the core of our being. It's in the inside of who we are. It's in the makeup of our internal being. And whatever is happening in circumstances, whatever issues I may be dealing with, whatever difficulties I may be going through, however unkind the circumstances are, I still, in the midst of these horrendous, difficult circumstances, I still can have joy within my being. Think about it for a moment. What are some things that may rob you of joy in your life? Think about the things that could rob you of joy. For example, there is time that could rob you of joy. You may be waiting for something for a long time and it doesn't come to pass. And in the process of waiting for perhaps better living conditions or perhaps a raise at your place of employment. See, the longer you wait for something and it doesn't come to fruition in the timeline that you have thought about or organized in your personal calendar, if it doesn't happen in that timeline, what begins to take place is joy begins to fade. But that wasn't the case with Simeon. It seems his joy was built on the anticipation as he held on to the promises, and he would not be dismissed until he encountered the Messiah. Mistakes is another thing that causes joy to be robbed from our lives. It takes away our joy, especially to those who perhaps are perfectionists. All of us can experience the diminishing joy when we fixate on our past, our failures, decisions that we have made in life that we regret. And when we focus on the past, instead of focusing on the possibilities of a better future, we can have the tendency to lose joy. We need to become people, friends. We need to become people that learn from our past and our past mistakes, but we don't live in our past. A third thing that can rob us of joy are circumstances. This is when life happens and we get unexpected blows. We go through difficult seasons in our life, and things are not pretty with us. We literally have to come to a place in our life where we tell ourselves, I believe that God is still on the throne. I believe that He is going to take me through this season. You see, we can go through and we can test our measure of faith perhaps, but when circumstances are difficult in our lives, it's hard to have joy. And I always turn to the Apostle Paul in Philippians, who was jailed, attached and shackled between two guards, and yet he was able to pen these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, always be full of the joy of the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. And from a dark and dreary prison cell, he continues to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, look at these words, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. And verse 12, it goes on to say, I know how to live on almost nothing, or I can live with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's the attitude we're talking about when circumstances come into our life that are unpleasant to us and deals unexpected blows against us. We can have the fortitude within us that when such circumstances come, we can have the joy of Jesus Christ in our lives. And obviously, another very difficult time in our lives when we are robbed of joy is when we experience tragedy in life. This is one of the last things that robs us of joy, is tragedy. And we need to understand that we live in a fallen world, where people have the free will to choose whatever direction they want in life. But in whatever the free will have and the choices and the directions we have in life, there are devastating circumstances that affect us, that affect society, that affects the world. Several years ago, I was called in for jury duty, and I was part of a jury that was being selected for the trial of someone who had severely pulverized, literally severely beaten another person. Hospitalization was involved. Broken bones, reconstructive surgery. Simply because that person used a derogatory name against another person. You see, friends, that's an example that we live in a deprived and sinister world. Tragedies are found on every newscast. You know the pain and suffering that has happened with family members or neighbors or coworkers. You see corruption everywhere in the world. And it's interesting to me that Jesus was also born into a very dark world and an impoverished world as well. If you read the scriptures, you discover that during the reign of King Herod, when he heard that there had been another king that was born, Herod sent out an edict where all baby boys under the age of 2 were killed. Now, apologist Lee Strobel estimates that in the town of Bethlehem alone, a town that had a population of about 300 people, Lee Strobel estimates that 20 baby boys in the town of Bethlehem alone, under the age of 2, were slaughtered by King Herod. Jesus was born into a world that was dark, violence, innocent people suffering, poverty abounding, injustice, murder during the time of Christ. See, that's the kind of world that Jesus was born into. Into a world that at times is rough and at times is excruciatingly painful. We live in this kind of world. It is a fallen world. It is a world that is ravaged by the decay of humanity and creation. But look at the last prophetic words of Simeon. He's talking about a difficult life, and he's predicting something very phenomenal in regard to Jesus. Look at these words found in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. If you have your Bibles, follow along. Look what it says. And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Those were the words of Simeon. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said additional words to Mary, the baby's mother. This child, Simeon says, is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. But he will be a sign, notice this, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. Now let's pause for a moment because this is a very significant what Simeon is saying here. In essence, what Simeon is saying to Mary and to Joseph is this: life is not going to be easy. That's what he's saying. Life is not going to be easy for you. There is a rough road ahead for you and for the Lord. This pronouncement, this prophetic song, these words that are being sung in a very prophetic way to Mary and to Joseph are also important for us. These words that Simeon is saying to us is life is a test. Life is going to be a test. Yet in the midst of life, of living life, as difficult as life may be, you can be joyful in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of tragedy. You see, the issue is going to be in all of our lives. The issue is this: are we going to accept God's plan as it unfolds for us individually? That's the issue. And I can't help but think that 33 years later, in Mary's mind, she wanders back and she thinks about the words that were pronounced here in Luke chapter 2, verse 33 and verse 34. I cannot help but think that Mary's mind went back to these words of Simeon's song and this statement of blessing as Jesus hung on a cross between heaven and earth. Jesus, who had been brutalized, beaten, broken, spikes driven into his hands and into his feet. I don't know what Mary must have thought. I don't know what Mary thought or did or said as she stood in front of the cross in anguish over the crucifixion of her son. The pain that must have been riveting within her heart as her son hung on the cross. The pain must have been absolutely horrendous. I can't imagine any of us feeling like our heart being ripped out in witnessing what was happening to her child. Now, I know as a parent, we experience anguish and we experience heartache when our children go through difficult times. I remember as a young boy, maybe I was 9 or 10 years old, and I was riding my bicycle on a very hot day, and I had no shirt on, I had shorts on, probably no shoes on, and I wasn't paying attention while I was riding my bike, and I hit an obstacle on the road, and our roads where we lived at that time were just gravel roads. And when I hit this obstacle, I flew off my bike over the handlebars, and I skidded along the gravel on the front of my body. I remember my mother sitting on the edge of my bed as I was in excruciating pain, sitting on my bed, my mother picking out the pebbles of stone that were embedded in my skin. And the words, I can still hear her words to this day. The words that she was saying was, "I am so sorry. I wish I could have prevented it. I wish it was me that went through this agony." Can you imagine Mary, 33 years later, after hearing these words that Simeon pronounced over the Christ child, this blessing? Can you imagine the heartache for a moment that Mary must have felt watching her son hanging between heaven and earth? Yet the irony, listen to this, the irony of what we read today in Luke chapter 2 in Simeon's song, the irony is that the very thing, listen real closely to this, the very thing that seems to take the joy out of this moment for Mary is the very thing that will one day bring joy, hope, and peace to all mankind. Did you get that? These words, these pronouncements, while they bring pain and heartache to Mary and Joseph, these words one day bring the world hope, joy, and peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I'll wrap up now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have we're surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Now notice verse 2. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." What brought Jesus joy? What kept him going? What motivated him to go to the very end and endure the cross? What was it that drove Jesus to face the heartache and the hardship and the difficulties that he did. Friends, it's because he had you and me in mind. Jesus had you and me in mind when he hung upon the cross. He died so that I could experience forgiveness, so that I could experience healing, so that I could experience wholeness. From all of my sinfulness, I can experience in my life right now, right here, the fullness of what he accomplished on the cross. And the Bible says that Jesus was filled with joy in doing so. Jesus forsook heaven, came into this earth born as a baby in a manger. He came to this earth. He subordinated himself from all of the glory, from all of the power, from all of the splendor and authority of heaven. He came into this world so that you and I might experience redemption. He came to show us that in spite of everything that he experienced, he came to show us what joy could be like, even while hanging on a cross. And listen, when you invite Jesus to be a part of your life, and you ask him to participate in your life, and you make him Lord of your life, it's as if Jesus takes up residence within you. In other words, heaven invades earth. Your life becomes the temple, the place between the connection of heaven and the connection of earth. And in this holy temple, which is my body, which is your body, this holy temple is where God's purposes are being fulfilled every single day of your life. And so whatever I go through, whatever I deal with, whatever circumstances come my way, I have one who's gone before me and has shown me what true joy is all about. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. And he came to be a part of our lives and to bring us through life and in the midst of living life, providing us with joy. Because we are the temple of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this Christmas season, may we recognize the importance of this unique story in the Scriptures. The Scriptures, your holy word, where you want to teach us something very important, and that is, Lord, in the midst of waiting, in the midst of difficult circumstances, we can experience incredible joy as we follow you. Invade our life. Come into all of our lives this Christmas season. We invite you, Lord, to be a part of our life. And as you dwell within us, may this temple, may this life bring glory and honor to your name. And let me express the joy that fills my life because you, Lord, are resident within me. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for going to the cross and redeeming us. For your honor and your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen, amen. We look forward to seeing you on Christmas Eve as we look at the final song of Christmas, the Song of the Angels. You'll not want to miss it. Have a great week. Until then, God bless you. Amen.